Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 207 of the Milk Bar. Jason here on my own, as we mentioned last week. I'm currently sat in my hotel room in Singapore. So we have the full studio built. It's absolute chaos in here. There's wires and things absolutely everywhere. However, it'll be put away before they come to clean my room tomorrow. That's what counts. So coming up on the show this week, we'll be finding out what happened when I went along to the Steam and Vintage Rally at West Park just a couple of weeks ago now. I had a chat with Len Crane and also his wife June, and also the gang from Avalon Video. So we'll hear that a little bit later on. Also, we'll be finding out about the Dawn Chorus, a brand new project put together by the man who a few moments ago you heard sing the theme song to the show, Jamie Russon, joining us for a chat on the phone. But first of all, we go to the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton, where they are halfway through the run of Ghost. And to tell us more about it, Kate Evans, Press and PR Manager. Hello!
Hello, Jason.
How you doing? You good?
Yes, very good, thank you. Yes, I've just escaped from the office to sit in the auditorium. I'm currently looking down on the Ghost set, so it's a nice little break from the office.
So, yeah, well, there's loads of things taking place over the coming months. The first one, of course, we say we're halfway through the run of Ghost, and it's on until Saturday, yep, the 15th of June. And it's been, yep, getting absolute rave reviews both up and down the country, and of course in Wolverhampton. And I've noticed on the Twitter feed whilst I've been away, it's absolutely manic. Everybody's loving it.
Absolutely. The response on Twitter this week has been phenomenal. One of the biggest responses I think we've ever had to a show. Just all round, people. I mean, Wolverhampton's really never seen anything like this before in terms of staging, in terms of scale. Ghost the Musical, I think we've been told it's one of the most technically complex productions ever to tour the UK, and it's certainly for Wolverhampton, it's one of the biggest shows that we've ever had tour here. So I think people really well and truly have been just blown away by that aspect as much as anything else. And of course there's the love story and the iconic Potter's Wheel, which has made one or two appearances this week in a lot of what we've been doing. So
clay all over the front, yeah, row, I take it.
That's clay everywhere, yep. Very difficult to get off your clothes, just to tell you that.
So I won't ask if you've been trying to take part in the production yourself then, but
moving on,
because the film, I have seen the film Ghost, and I do know from that there's a lot of different scenes in that one, and it must be quite difficult bringing something like that to the stage. When I saw Driving Miss Daisy, that started out as a stage play, and that made some kind of sense the way it was all brought together. Even, yeah, something like 9 to 5, which was again a film but then redesigned for the stage, the set changes in that were amazing. So what has Ghost got that it goes even further?
Well, I mean, basically one of the biggest things that I can tell you is that Ghost, it's obviously been adapted to the stage by Bruce Joel Rubin, who's the original screenplay writer for Ghost, the film, the 1990 film. So obviously it bears a lot of resemblance to the original screenplay. But what sets it apart, I think, in performance is, as I say, the technicality, because the scene changes and a lot of the scenery in this piece is conjured through 10 LED video walls, which before seeing it, I didn't know what they were, but basically huge screens with video projections. So all of the scenery, so, you know, you might be in a New York apartment, or you might be looking at a Manhattan skyline, and it's all created through this huge array of digital projection. And it really is, you know, stunning to behold. It's visually, it's just so impressive to watch. So obviously you're getting everything you would expect from the original film, and lovers of the film will recognise all of the iconic scenes, the Potter's Wheel, etc. But that's interwoven with this amazing kind of visual technical side of the production, all conjured through projection and video LED effects and lighting. So it really is, and for our theatre as well, it's been such a huge undertaking for our tech team. They've been, the getting for the production took 2.5 days, 50 hours of work getting the production in, and again getting it out at the other end. So it's been a real exciting time for the theatre as much as anything else, as well as for audiences.
and it's been selling really, really well, but there are tickets available.
There are still tickets available moving into the second week, as you say, but yes, still tickets available at the box office. You can grab them while they're there.
So give them a call, 01902 429212. Reserve your tickets that way, or just pop into the box office.
That's it, absolutely. Come into the box office and you can get them here. Or you can go online as well at www.grandtheatre.co.uk.
And, of course, whilst they're there, they might want to buy tickets for some of the other productions, because next week we're finding out about one of the summer run of plays.
Yes, that's right. We're nearly at the point where we launch our summer play season, which is a four-week season of plays, the first of which is Murder in Play, which is a comedy, a knockabout comedy farce, and that stars Gemma Bissix, formerly of Hollyoaks, as well as Dean Gaffney, and Katie Manning, a former Doctor Who's assistant.
So we'll be hearing from her next week?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Katie will be with you next week.
Okay, I quite like the fact she's also a former Doctor Who's assistant as well. I've got to do some Googling on that one before we get to that point, in case I've seen her on telly in the past, because I don't watch much telly these days, as I'm sure I've told you before. But that's going to be 4 weeks of productions. And what are the highlights have you got for us?
Well, we've obviously, you know, it may only be June now and the good weather's just starting to emerge, but we're thinking already about panto season and awaken from our slumber with a bit of Sleeping Beauty. So we'll see over the next couple of months preparations underway for that, for our Christmas show.
You've got the press day coming soon and you're going to have all the stars down there. And I know you guys absolutely love that because I've seen videos and clips and stuff.
We will. There'll be Joe Pasquale and Kerry Dupree, who is our glamorous, ultra glamorous dame this year. So we'll be looking forward to some truly remarkable costumes and wigs, I think, with Kerry when she goes down.
I thought that was just Joe Pasquale, but there we go.
Well, that's just Joe, yeah, absolutely. And also Lucy Evans, who's our Princess Beauty this year. So we look forward to having them. It's always a great day. And yes, lots of excitement for panto season this year.
And you can already get tickets in advance for that, can't you?
You can. Booking is now open for pantomime. So again, if you call the box office, and we've got very special family rates for this year's production. Family tickets start from £75 as well. So you can bring the whole lot along, bring Granny along to see Joe as well. He's a Grand Theatre favourite. But it's his first time here since 1996, where he was in Peter Pan with Michaela Strachan. So very excited to have him back for the first time in over 10 years, I think it is.
And grandmothers love him, though. This is the bit that gets me. He's popular with the grandmothers.
Well, he's a cheeky chappy, isn't he?
They do that sort of thing, don't they?
They're like a little, yes, he's cheeky and mischievous, and he's obviously made a few more fans from his recent stint on Dancing on Ice, so I don't know whether he'll be getting his skates out this year or not, who knows.
Watch out in the orchestra pit if that happens, is all I can say, but there you go. So it's,
well, we have a raked stage, you see, so that's it's on a slope, so who knows what's going to happen.
Anything could happen. So it's going to be a great time in the run-up to Christmas, and give us all the details again if people want to book tickets for each of these shows, and give us a few ideas on prices and what's outstanding for Ghost.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can get your tickets by calling the box office on 01902 429212. Tickets for Ghost range between £21.50 and £44.50. But you can also book online our website www.grandtheatre.co.uk, or alternatively just pop in and book at the box office on the day.
Well, as ever, lovely to speak to you, and we shall look forward to various events in the coming months, and say looking forward to next week finding out more about the first of those plays which take place as your summer season.
My pleasure, nice to speak to you.
Cheers. Speak to you soon, try for now.
Bye.
Time for us now to take a listen to the Dawn Chorus. This is Waste the Day.
Black, black, white cry, tell the truth, I'm like white lie. I spy with my third eye, from a view that's so bird's eye. Free who? Free me. And it's like there's no freebies. And I just said bye to the freedom, put my soul on these CDs. Who's there? Who cares? I'm doing me, so the men do theirs. My heart bleeds when I cry through tears. If the shoes don't fit, better lose those pairs.
I just said bye to freedom.
And I just can't be ass, as the camera goes flash.
I just said bye to freedom.
I take this back to the top, if the boys on fire, cause I'm hellbound hot.
Black,
success, a little bit more, not much less. And they tell me that I'm just too blessed, but I smoke that good cause I'm just too stressed. Yeah, I'm just too stressed. I feel that weight on my chest, bench press. Try to bloody name, get my name in the press, but things have been the same and I'm not impressed. Get it? Not impressed. The devil wears powder and I never bring dress. Just sold my soul to a pretty tent chest. I made a mistake thinking with a woman in distress. Freedom, freedom, like a flower, we bloom. Can I flow, need a tune, I'm a new elephant in a room. Ow!
Just set by the freedom, freedom. Cause I sit here and waste the day. But I won't stop believing. I just set by the freedom, freedom. Cause I sit here and waste the day. But I won't stop believing.
I'm like, why lie? I spy with my third eye. From a view that's so bird's eye. Free who? Free me. In this life, there's no freebies. And I just said bye to the freedom. Put my soul on these CDs. Who's there? Who cares? I'm doing me, so they better do theirs. My heart bleeds when I cry two tears. But the shoes don't fit, better lose those pairs.
I just said bye to freedom.
And I just can't be A's as the camera goes past.
Waste a Day from Dawn Chorus, and a member of the sort of a group. There's four of them at the moment. We're joined by Jamie Russell on the phone. Hello.
Hi, Jason. How you doing? You all right?
I'm good. Now, you've been in the past with other projects that you've worked on, but you're saying a bit of a different direction musically with this new outfit.
Yeah, well, as you probably know, I've been in bands before with my own material, and I've come to the point where it's just like you're doing venue after venue, and, you know, nothing's really coming out of it. Promoters expect bands to bring the fans, and so it's all about making money, really. Do you know what I mean? So you sort of find yourself gigging week after week, trying to bring the same people out all the time, and, you know, these people, they don't particularly want to see the same set every week, so you find yourself trapped, really. And I've been sort of working with Rich, who's the founder of the project, of the track that you've just listened to. And I've been working with him on and off for years anyway, different sort of lineups. And again, same thing, it never really worked out. It was always sort of generic rock, and it was hard to pull the people in. So with this project, he thought to himself, oh, what can I do that's different? What can I do that can appeal more sort of to the mainstream, but without selling out too much? And he sort of had this sound in his head that he wanted to create.
But this is the point at which he started bringing family and friends in?
Pretty much. Like, he's sort of, brother's always been a fairly successful DJ anyway. He's been on and off the circuit for a few years. And he sort of hooked up with him, and he put some of this music together that he had in his head down with his brother on a DJ program. And then he was like, okay, so what can we do from here, sort of thing? Who else can we pull in to make the song, sort of thing, to finish it off? So he was looking around on Facebook. He had a few friends and stuff online, and he got in touch with this rapper called Anthony James, and he got in down for a session, and he just like scattered a few licks over the top of the song, and it sounded pretty good. So he was like, okay, what we'll do, we'll go over the song a few times, and we'll get something, and then we'll sort of stick with it and take it from there. Kind of, Rich asked me to sing a couple of little lines over the top of it as well. Anthony put his bits on, I'll put my bits on, and then we listened to it back, and we thought, it sounds good, but there's something missing. we had a look around, and I knew of this girl called Lucy Onion. She's quite involved within Wolverhampton and the Bourne music community. Mm-hmm. I sort of do a lot of interviews with bands and stuff in Wolverhampton. And she goes out and takes photos of unsigned bands, like doing local shows and stuff like that. And that's how I sort of met her. And she sings in this covers band. And I was like, well, you know, should I ask Lucy if she wants to do it? So we got her down, and she sang a few lines on his own. She's like, yeah, okay, that sounds pretty good. So we sort of recorded the three songs with me, Anthony and Lucy. And then we was like, okay, they're kind of done. We mastered a few roughly. Like the one you played today was mastered by ourselves. But eventually they're going to be mastered again by a DJ called Dan Thomas, who's done a bit of work with Radio 1, I think, in the past, which is pretty cool. Again, another one of Rich's contacts. So
the Little Black Book's coming in useful for Rich, for definite. So with this, is this a sound that you can take out on the road?
I don't think Rich really wants to do that because of how he's been messed around before, being in bands, because it is quite difficult when everyone's got different jobs and working different hours to sort of get everyone together and rehearse regularly and gig regularly and stuff like that. But as the projects went on, I kind of put the idea to him, just in the sense of, like, well, because the music's so different, there's a lot you could do with it, you know what I mean? You could make a show out of it, kind of a thing, because, and I said I'd also be interested to see how it would go down live, because of how different the music was, sort of thing. The amount of gigs that I've done, I mean, it's not very often you see a band with a rapper as a frontman. Quite interesting just to do that just on its own, like. And we put our heads together and thought, okay, so if we're going to put a band together to play this, we're going to have to think it through, do you know what I mean? Because of how the music was put together originally, sort of DJ program, a lot of the sounds are going to be hard to recreate with a band, but I think with the right people and the right amount of rehearsal time, we could probably pull it off. So with Adam, Richie's brother, being a DJ, we thought, well, we could have him in, and then just on certain bits sort of have like a breakdown, have like a little sort of DJ set, like a very short sort of, you know what I mean? Because you're sort of bridging the gap between live music and the club scene then.
Yes, it's certainly not a night. It's more of an event that involves the music, the DJ set and everything else.
That's what I'm saying. We're sort of trying to bring as many people into it as possible and make it a show kind of thing. We sort of had the idea of, because Rich knows a few break dancers, maybe get some break dancers down, yeah. You know what I mean? Just put some mats down on the floor.
This is turning into Britain's Got Talent, isn't it? All you need now is someone throwing eggs, yeah. And you'll be sorted.
Well, I don't know, I was just thinking, it's something different, you know? I mean, if you went to see a band and you just thought, oh, this is just going to be a standard band night where, you know, you got like three bands on, two supports and a headline, then you go and everyone does a set and then leaves, you know. Not many people would probably remember it unless they're already quite an established band sort of thing. But if you go there and you do something a bit different, like you've got break dancers there doing weird stuff, people are going to think, what the hell's all this about?
And they you know probably want to come back for more. So when can they see this?
Well, it's going to be a while, yeah. Like I said, we've just managed to grab this Chinese restaurant where we're now able to rehearse free from 10 p.m. till 5 a.m. in the morning, which is really weird.
You're rehearsing in a Chinese restaurant. It gets weirder the fact it's the middle of the night.
It does get very weird. This project is the strangest thing we've ever done, honestly. It's just so many different things going on. And it's like, we haven't even like planned it. It's just happened naturally, like kind of a thing. It's, I mean, we basically did this because he was in Silent Lights with me, yeah. The keyboardist. And he had this Chinese karaoke competition on a few months ago. And they invited him back because he won it last year. And they basically said to him, you know, if you could do something a bit different from what you did last year, that would be great. So he's like, okay, I'll put a band together then and we'll do some live, because a lot of it is just a backing track and singing. So we went down, me, Rich, and Dan, who was also the drummer for my last band, went down and we did this, like, I think it was just one track, a Chinese song, and it went down a storm, like, and there was like a panel of four judges, I think, and the one judge knew this guy that owned this restaurant, and he sort of put our name forward because this guy was looking for a house band, And he said, I know this band, like, if you need a band to play at your restaurant, then I'll, you know, take these on, because I'm pretty good, like. So this guy took us on, and he said, well, I can't really pay you much, but he said, if you play a set here of, say, 30 songs every couple of weeks, then basically you can rehearse here for free, and you get as much Chinese food and drinks as you want. Like, okay, that's fine with us. It's going to be very weird, but that is purely just covers, do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But
yeah.
we can also do this project there as well, or rehearse it there as well.
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing. I mean, it's going to be take a few months yet before we take it live. But I think when he does go live, it's going to be quite a good experience. Because with the rapping thing as well, I also suggested, well, maybe have some kind of rap battle, like within the set as well. So maybe one of Anthony's mates wants to get on stage, and we just like loop something. I don't know. Maybe like a.
There's something technical going to go on here, isn't
it? Yeah, just like loop a groove or something like that, and then have these two guys just. Battle it out, like, just randomly. It was just thinking, let's totally think outside the box with this, because it's such an open project, and normally a lot of time in a band you've got like the songwriter, he's got an idea, and everyone else sort of goes along with that idea.
Has to conform, but not in this case. It could evolve into anything.
Yeah, anything can happen with this, basically, because no one's particularly in charge. I mean, Richie's the founder, and also he's like sort of put the music together. He had this sound in his head. He's put that down, and then we've sort of had other people come in and put their ideas onto it. In the end, especially when we take it with the band as well, some of the songs are going to come out sounding a lot different to what they are on the recordings anyway.
So, okay, then, what happens now? Then? How do people find out more and find out what's going to happen? Is there a website or a Facebook group or something at the minute?
Well, we've got a Facebook at the moment. There's nothing... setting stone too much at the moment, because it's like early days, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have got a Facebook page. We haven't got many likes or anything at the moment, because we haven't really plugged
it. This is where you appeal for them. What's the address?
Yeah, if people are listening and they want to find it, just type us in and search Sing at the Top, the Dawn Chorus. There's a few others there as well, but I think you should be able to find us if you go on there. Especially if you just listen to the track as well. There's some samples up there of the other two as well, as well as that one mm-hmm. That you can listen to. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, to be fair, because it's something different, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm playing bass again for a change. I haven't played bass for years, so that's kind of nice.
So it's all something different. Yeah. Well, Jamie, thank you for joining us. Thank you for letting us listen to some of the music, and keep rehearsing in your Chinese restaurant. We look forward to seeing you on stage in the near future.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Cheers. See ya.
Now, just before we find out what happened when I caught up with Len and Jane Crane, and also at Avalon Video over in West Park at the Steam and Vintage Car Rally a few weeks ago, let's take a listen to Len and Jane's Gavioli Organ in action.
Thank you.
with Graham Sayers from Avalon Video, and we're actually at the moment, as you can hear in the background, we have some steam work going on down there. That's a pipe organ. I believe that one in particular belongs to Len Crane, and Graham, you've been following Len around for some time now, and it's not quite stalking, is it?
No, it isn't, no. We found ourselves with Len and James because of a third party who wanted to create a DVD for a magazine cover, and we did some interviews with Len and James, and it was quite clear straight away, here is a man of some importance and some capability. If you follow his story as we did right from the start, so you know he was making model engines, we're talking about scale model engines here, absolutely precisely scale model engines when he was a kid. And then as he progressed through his teenage years, he continued to do that. So he's an engineer. And these things, you know, there are lathes involved. He's making metal. He's doing all this sort of stuff. And from that, he then moved into other things. And when we got to find out about that, we thought, this is a story that has to be told.
Now, I've been lucky enough to interview Len on a couple of occasions, although every time I've been limited by the amount of time I've got to talk to him. It's either been live on the radio or it's all got to fit within a half an hour podcast. But you've had the advantage of spending 18 months literally travelling around with Len and Jane and seeing what goes on and what really brings together the magic of the steam engines and the organ and all the work that he does surrounding all of that.
Indeed, absolutely right. And, you know, we produced this DVD which we called The Black Country Steam Engineer, because that's really what Len is about. He's about engineering, finding engines, or has been, finding engines, finding other things, and bringing them back to life. But once you've brought these things back to life, you then need to move around and actually let people see them. Otherwise, why do you do it? And so we've wandered around with them to big shows like the Onslow Steam Rally in Shrewsbury, the Great Dorset Steam Fair, and a number of other smaller events such as this. And what we've found is, here's a couple actually, because we talk about Len a lot, but there's a complete team there, and Jane, his wife, without one and the other, it wouldn't work the way it does. They're great people, you know, and here we are today in West Park, and they've got their organ, they've got both of the current engines that they have, and they're proudly displaying those, and quite rightly so. You have to fight through the people, the photographers and whatever, who want to take shots of them. And if you wanted to try and talk to Len and Jane right now, you'd find it quite difficult, because everybody is up there who knows them, and they're shaking hands and they're talking. They are a wonderful couple. And interestingly, in the steam world, and I'm not a steam buff, I merely fell into this by finding Len. In the steam world, you find a lot of people like that. And it's a very important part of our heritage, the engineering heritage of this country, and particularly this area. And that if people don't get to see them, then they don't know they were there. You know, and there's lots of people wandering around here today, particularly the younger kids, who... If you said steam engine, the only thing they know about is Thomas the Tank Engine. But in fact, part of our history is creating these, what are referred to as road steam engines that were used on farms, they were used in agriculture, they were used in industry, in commerce. More importantly, we flogged them abroad a lot.
Well, before we talk more about that, I mean, the history is something that you're interested in, as Avalon Video is actually another husband and wife team, Laurie and Graham, doing the work that you're doing. And you came to this through your past, having grown up in a rural area yourself.
Absolutely right. I mean, as a young lad, I'm from Essex, middle of nowhere, not even a hamlet, just a cottage. And as a boy in that environment, you were steeped in agriculture, the tractors, the combines, the horses, everything that was going on. So I left that, joined the army, went off and did all sorts of things around the world, and came back out of the army after 27 years, worked in a multimedia company, still working with video and like, but not actually doing it myself. And then as I get on a bit, I'm not young, as I always say, I'm in my Beatles year, I'm 64 this year, we were looking for, if you like, an exit strategy. And so, therefore, we set up our own little company, and we set off, not just with the agriculture stuff, but history is what fascinates us and our heritage. And so we've been working on various DVDs to that end, which is, again, how we came to be contacted with Len and Jane in the first place.
And within this world, there's a couple of magazines. It was one of those magazines you did some work for, which, say, first introduced you to this. But since you've met Len and Jane, it's sort of snowballed, hasn't it? Because you've gone from one DVD, which has already been very popular within the steam world, to a second one, looking at the whole of Team Crane, really.
Absolutely right. We only meant to do the one. Fascinating story. Took us 18 months of following him around to get the information together and make it work. And as we were doing that, we're not from this area. You can tell by accents we're not. But we understand, you know, the Black Country is different from other places in this locality. So we named it Len Crane, the Black Country Steam Engineer. And that, because that seems to be the right thing for him. In doing that, we found there's an awful lot of people involved working with Len and Jane to keep these engines on the road, to display them and to run them. And so we thought that potentially there's another thing we should do here, which is to actually bring in those very, very important people who help Len and Jane all the time and have a look at them as well. You know, there's lots of people out there who love to view these engines and how what happens with them. They like to see pretty pictures of them, but they also like to understand how they came to be restored, what happened with them, what's their past, where they're going now, what they're doing. And so we're working right now on this second one, which is more about all the other people in Team Crane, as well as some of the engines that Len himself has restored, brought back to life, and then have disappeared out of his life into somewhere else. And we're going to follow those along as well.
Including, I know unfortunately you don't get the trip there, but there's an Australian connection with all this as well.
Absolutely right. Len and Jane are so well known around the world. When we produced this particular DVD and advertised it, we've sold them around the world. Belgium, France, not America yet, but certainly Australia and New Zealand. And we've got a phone call a couple of weeks ago from Australia, a chap who knows Len, because he's got an engine, a Fowler engine, exactly the same as Len's, and when he was restoring it, he'd been over here, he'd met Len, and Len exchanged information with him, drawings and all the other things he needs to help him get this restored, which he's now done. And he was very keen to get back to us and let us know that, you know, he knows Len and what a great guy he is. So having chatted to him, he's now sent us a load of information, some video of things he's done. So he's going to be included on that DVD. I'm not going to Australia.
I'm sure it'd be an absolutely fantastic time, but we'd limit the profits from any further DVD sales. And you say people are coming forward. Is it going to be maybe a third instalment as you move away? I mean, is this possible? There seems to be an awful lot of links. Has Len, in effect, gotten a little black book of people who he's dealt with over the years?
I don't believe there is a third in this. I mean, the intention with the second one is to go and reach those people who we've either met as we've been going along or we know of through listening to what Len has been doing and what's happened to his engines now. I don't think there'll be a third party from there, but you never know. When you start talking to people and you find out what they're doing, you then find there's a very interesting story there and you pursue that along. And so it's not out of the possible, but it's not intentioned.
And with the work that you're doing now, I say you're covering a number of different areas. Tell us a bit about the back catalogue from Avalon.
Right, well, in the last couple of years, we've only been doing this about 2 years, we've produced DVDs specifically about shows. So we've been to the Shrewsbury show, 3 days there, and there's a huge, great variety of vintage type equipment. Not just steam engines, you're talking about tractors and cars. So we've done that. We did the same with the Welland show, which is down near Malvern, and we're doing that again this year. But when we started looking at this, we thought, when we looked at it, a lot of time and effort, a lot of photography, a lot of video, a lot of DVDs, a lot of books about road steam, these moving things, not much about the big fixed facilities. So we started looking at those, and we've done 2 DVDs about big fixed steam stations. Now, these are primarily pumping stations. Now, you're talking about buildings 2 or 3 stories high, massive beam engines in them, which are moving water, moving sewage, clearing storm water from towns and things. And these date from around about the turn of the 19th to 20th century. And there's quite a lot of them out there that still work, still steamed. They don't necessarily do the job they were originally going to do, but they're there, and they're all over the country. And we've done 2 DVDs on that, and we're working on a third one now.
And because Len Crane was involved in the Bratch pumping station, its restoration, and that was a fantastic sight. And having seen that on one of the steaming days, it's just an amazing piece of engineering. And again, I'm sure Len could talk for England on that one as well.
Absolutely. I mean, our DVD, we touched on it because, unfortunately, mainly because it's an operational base for 7 Trent, and it's one of their major headquarters. That it's now no longer open to the public, so you can't go and see it anymore, unfortunately. But yes, Len, and other people have said this about him, it wasn't Len who said it, is called the saviour of the Bratch, because he led the engineering team who, for I think 5 years, worked on it to get one of the two engines back into life. And, you know, we have got some archival film of the events that they've had there, which is on the DVD, but unfortunately, you can't go and see that anymore.
That's a shame, and so it is just an amazing piece of engineering to see, and it's making sure you can catalogue this. Fortunately, you're meeting a lot of people who are doing this. It is part of their lives to keep this sort of thing going, and it is being passed to a younger generation as well in many, many cases. But you need that history. You need to hear from the people like Len, because in 20, 30 years' time, sadly, they're not going to be with us.
That's absolutely right, and it is interesting. I mean, I'm not a young chap myself, but when you go around, you know, specifically to these fixed locations where you've got volunteers there who are maintaining them, making sure it all works, and talking to the public as they come round, there's quite a lot of younger people coming into that, you know, and they are as enthusiastic as the old guys. So there is a connection and there is a pass on, and hopefully talking to people, putting it into a DVD form or into a form that can be archived, in 30, 40, 50 years' time, if someone wants to find out what happened in 2006 or 2007, there are means by which you can get back to that. But you're quite right, younger people need to be involved, and they are. You only have to look around here.
So Graham, give us details on how people can get hold of videos from yourself, whether it be the shows you've been to or the Len and Jane story.
Okay, our website is www.avalonvideo.co.uk, and you can go there and you'll find us. Or you can contact us directly by phone. A lot of the people who buy DVDs from us don't like using the internet, and so therefore they'll phone us directly, and I don't mind that. That's 01327 858 695, and you'll get me, or you'll get Laurie, my wife.
And long may your video continue, because it must be enjoyable for you to see these things as well. It's not just, again, like it's a labour of love on the engines, this must be a labour of love for yourself as well.
It is. I mean, I very much enjoy doing it. I'm a creator of video, but I'm a historian first, and it's that part that actually really drives me and interests me. Laurie, who had nothing to do with video until about 2 years ago, is quite a competent camera person herself, and she understands these things. But we're both getting on a bit and chasing tractors around fields and engines around. You have to think about what you're doing, but yeah, I enjoy doing it.
At least the vehicles you're following don't move too quickly.
Absolutely right.
I'm now with Len Crane, the subject of the video. You've got a load of stories to tell. It must have been really good fun.
Oh, I've been doing it for a good many years, of course. Well, I started off really doing models when I was about 10, 11, something like that. these sort of models, good steam ones as well, you know. And finished up carrying on then until I got involved in motorcycles. And we raced motorbikes 25 years and involved in people as well, again, in between the racing and engines. And then I finished up selling all the bikes and finishing up with just traction engines.
Now, you've been having a great time, say, moving around the different shows with these. I say a beast is the wrong word. It's just an absolutely fantastic machine, isn't it? It's just huge. And we're down here stood next to the Endurance at the moment. And you've had this on the road, what, about 2 years now since your restoration?
Yes, I have. 2 years, yes. In fact, I've only just finished it, really. You know, because there's always odd things to finish.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's running very well. And it's a super engine. And I've always wanted a Showman's. Because the other engine I've got, of course, is a crane engine, you see. And the steamroller, we've still got that as well. But it's a case of that I'm getting old now. But I don't like to say that, but I am.
Well, you're only approaching 80. That's nothing in engineering years.
Oh, I suppose it's not. But I've got a few pains, and they're through missing with a hammer and things like that. But I'm hoping to get them sorted out now in the next 2 months. So we should be all right.
That's good. So, say, with Endurance, are you able to visit many shows this year, or is the steam show in Wolverhampton one of the few you get a chance to do in 2013?
That's one of the few. I've got this one, and then in a fortnight's time, I'm at Kimber there, and somebody else is taking the engine for me. I can't do it.
So, in the case of Endurance, how many years' work went into this, to put it right?
10 years.
That's an amazing amount of effort and time. And when we've talked before, you talked about sourcing the parts and often have to make these things yourself.
Yeah, well, I do. You have to make everything, really. You can't buy anything now for these old engines.
And have you got your eye on another one? Is there anything out there that's going to get the Link Rain treatment in the coming years?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You're enjoying the ones you've got.
Just
for
keep,
now.
Keep these in condition.
Yeah.
You know. I've got a motorbike I've just rebuilt now. And it's a 1914 Triumph, Dun Riders bike from the war, First World War. And I managed to be left that by somebody else. And I've had it, must be getting up for nearly 50 years now. Mm-hmm. And I've just rebuilt it.
Finally got around to it, but you've had a lot going on.
Yes.
Now, say, we've had the video where people have been talking about you. I'm sure they've been saying loads of wonderful things, I'm sure, and Graham's working on the second edition at the minute. So how has it really been for you with the work and people being videoed around you? Because you're quite used to being filmed, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Luckily enough, I am. And been doing it a long time, as you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's all comes part of it, I suppose.
Yeah,
you're as much a celebrity as the engines, though, I think. They're always good to talk to you. Thanks again. I'm going to try and catch up with Jane.
Okay. Right, thanks.
I've caught up with Jane Crane now, and you're enjoying the sunshine as well?
I am enjoying the sunshine after a very, very busy week. Tremendously busy trying to get the engines here and the lads organised.
So you're head of coordinating these things, are you?
Well, I don't think so, but I think I am.
Now, so I've been having a chat with Graham and with Len today, and it must have been fun for you as well being part of the video.
Oh, yes, absolutely lovely, really. You know, well, I'm what you see is what you get. That's it, basically, I'm afraid. And we I am a Black Country person, and we don't change, do we?
No, so you just get on with it, don't you?
That's right.
So with Endurance being on the road now and having been probably coming to fruition during the recording of the first DVD, which, of course, you feature in, that must have been really nice to see that recorded.
Well, it is absolutely lovely now, after 10 years of really hard work, and mainly working at the top of the garden at home, behind the hedge. I did all the donkey work, which means all the flatting and the filling and the undercoats. And he always did the cosmetics on the top. There you go. I know my place.
But do you enjoy doing it, though?
Oh, yeah.
You have to, I suppose. How many years has it been you've been doing it? You get used to it, I suppose.
After the motorcycles, which I love, I thought, well, if you can't beat them, join them. So there you go.
But you have got the bike he's working on at the minute, and is that going to be something that you get involved into?
Well, yes, yes. It's a 1914 baby Triumph, and we've had it 56 years.
No, he said 50.
That's 56. It was 56 years. He's lying. He can't remember. It was before we married he had that bike.
Right.
You know.
But
so.
It's nice to get around to doing something with it now.
Well,
2013,
it
good year for bikes.
Well, that's right.
Got to get ready for its 100th birthday.
Oh, I know, this is right. It's lovely, yes.
And do you think then you'd maybe get a bit of a go on the back? Would you ride Pillion or would you
take I should just take it out.
Yeah.
I'm a motorcyclist. Learned at 11 on a hand change 1932 New Imperial. That's it.
Now, we've got you've got the organ down here in the park as well at the moment.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I have to admit, I know I've been told the history by one of the two of you before, but give us a bit of a background to
it's
that.
It's 1900, and it was actually the centre of a ride, when I say a ride, a fairground ride, which obviously, because they hadn't got any canon music in those days, that used to fetch the people into the rides, and it was in a set of gallopers. And obviously taken out, you know, when they moved on to piped music and all the rest of it. And different sorts of music, obviously. And this is particularly noisy, really, because it is a proper fairground organ.
It's meant to be heard across fields.
Yes, that's right. Yes, it isn't a mellow one at all. It's in your face. You know, and it is a Gavioli, basically. And then it was converted with several other pipes by somebody called Chiappa down in London, and the firm still actually exists, and you can still get music and books and all sorts of things.
So it's when you get popular tunes from the charts and you get a bit of Jesse J on
do.
There
you can, well, I don't know, it goes so far as that. You know, the chap that actually, because it is a fairground organ, it'll only play a certain type of music.
Yeah,
it wouldn't, you know,
wouldn't go well with an orchestral piece.
I don't. No, orchestral fine.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Plays the Italian national anthem very well.
Not much call for that in West Park, unfortunately.
No, but it's going to be played soon.
No, they'll get it sooner or later.
Well, this is right. Yeah.
Jay, and so talking with Len, you've got three events this year, Kimber being the next one. Where is it after that?
We're going then to Stourbridge at the Bonded Warehouse. Hopefully, there may be one in between if he's well enough to go. And that is Welland, which is near Upton on Severn, because he'll be 80 then, and they want a bit of a celebration.
It's nothing like celebrating with some steam engines on your 80th birthday,
that's
is it?
That's correct. Yeah, and he's. I'm not allowed to say that Mike, his steersman, is 75 as well. I'm not allowed to tell you that,
okay.
because he was at school with my brother, so he knows how old I am.
You could take revenge here.
That's right.
Your age is a closely guarded
secret. Well, this is right.
I know you're only 21.
No.
But with the other engines you've got there, are you here? Because we have an engine called Jane, don't we?
No.
I thought we did.
It isn't here. It's actually... We did sell it. I got cancer a few years ago, and because I didn't think I was going to recover, then we said we'd sell it, and we put all the actual funds into
the work of endurance. And, yeah.
Yes, because the paint itself was £50 a tin.
Whoa.
I know. It isn't a cheap thing, I'm afraid. And then there was the gold leaf and all the things and the canopy and... Mm-hmm. And so it was quite... Well, we spent literally all the money from the sale.
Fortunately, you are now well, and endurance is looking resplendent.
Still here.
So.
That's right. So there you go. You know, no, he didn't want me yet, so here I am still.
You stick around and enjoy the engines for many years
right.
to come.
Yes,
Jane, good speaking to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
and the sound of the Italian national anthem brings to a close the Milk Bar this week. Thank you for joining us back in the UK next week, when we'll have Zoe back in the studio for episode 208. I'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.